الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، so as you have heard, our discussion this evening is a reminder for the youth and for the believer specifically. But because we have had so far three, I know, intensive classes, we covered a lot of information. We're going to kind of take it easy on this class tonight, inshallah. We're going to make it a class of mudhakara, a class of mudhakara, which is, what does mudhakara mean? Who knows that? Huh? Reminder, mudhakara, close, reminder. The reminder is the dhikr, mudhakara, between more than one person. Huh? Review. We're going to review. Huh? Because the setup, they used to say, تَذَكَرُوا هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَإِنَّ مُذَكَرَتُهُ حَيَاتُهُ. You must review these narrations, any of the knowledge that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because in reviewing knowledge, it stays alive. So the knowledge, if you review it and you go over it from time to time, it will stay alive. Meaning you will remember it, you recall it, you'll be able to recollect it, and you'll be able to apply it. And it will be in your heart, ready for you to remember it and to mention it, or to work by way of it whenever you like. But if you fail to review and go over the knowledge, it will slip away from you. It will slip away from you. It's been narrated by Muhammad ibn Shihab, rahimahullah, from the great scholars of hadith. He died in the year 124. He's known as Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah. He said, "Afatul ilmi al-nisyan wa tarku mudhakara," that the afa of knowledge, and the disease or the plague of knowledge, is forgetfulness and abandoning review. So if you leave off the review, you will forget. But if you review and you go over knowledge from time to time, you will remember. It will become firm. And from the means of establishing the knowledge is to review it amongst yourself. It's to review it amongst yourself, and to go over back and forth amongst yourself. So this is from the good way. It's been mentioned from Al-Mizzi, rahimahullah, from the great scholars of hadith. He died in the year 742. He said, "Man haza al-ilma wa dhakarahu saruhat dunyahu wa akhiratu. Fa'adim lil-ilmi mudhakaratan fa'hayatu al-ilmi mudhakaratu." He mentioned, rahimahullah, "Man haza al-ilma wa dhakarahu," whoever obtains knowledge and reviews it, "saruhat dunyahu wa akhiratu," his worldly life and hereafter will all be good for him. So if you obtain knowledge and you review it, then your worldly affairs, as well as that of the hereafter, will be good for you. Because it's by way of knowledge, you will see right. You'll be reminded and you'll go straight. And it's by way of knowledge that you will reach the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by way of ignorance, negligence, and heedlessness. So by learning knowledge, obtaining knowledge, and then reviewing the knowledge, and from the ways of reviewing knowledge likewise, is to implement it and to apply it. Is to implement it and to apply it, then you will have good in your life, this life and the hereafter. فَأَدِمْ لِلْعِلْمِ مُذَاكَرَةً فَحَيَاتُ الْعِلْمِ مُذَاكَرَةٌ. So therefore, you must constantly review the knowledge, because the life of the knowledge is by way of review. It's by way of review. So we want to review some important affairs tonight in our discussion, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And at the head of them, we want to discuss and review the greatest principles and the greatest foundation from the pillars of faith, and that is al-iman billahi azza wa jal. Al-iman billahi azza wa jal. To believe in Allah, the Most High. What does that mean? Ma ma'na al-iman billahi azza wa jal? What does it mean to believe in Allah, the Most High? This is a very important question that every believer who is true and sincere in their faith must know the answer to, and the answer must be correct. You must know the answer to this question, and the answer must be correct. You understand that? What does it mean to believe in Allah? You must know for yourself, and the knowledge that you know must be sound and correct. And likewise, you must know so that you can convey to others. For example, in the society, whenever you have classmates or co-workers, and they ask you, "What do you believe in? You're a Muslim. What do you believe in?" What do you say? "I believe in Allah." And then he's going to say to you, "What does that mean? What does that mean?" And it's not proper And it doesn't look good for a Muslim at that time to say, right? What does it mean to believe in Allah? This is not good. This is not good. So, alhamdulillah, we all know what that means. But now we want to review, to make that firm in our hearts. So who can remind us? Who can remind us? What does it mean to believe in Allah? What does it mean to believe in Allah? Where do you start? To believe in Allah. What does it mean to believe in Allah? Yes. One second. Yeah. To single him out. Okay, you're getting close, huh? He's the creator of all things, and we're on a path now. To believe in Allah means to single him out and believe that he alone is the creator of all things. So that's number one. You believe in Allah, meaning we believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, that he is that he alone is the creator of all things. He alone is the creator of all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book, وَخَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَخَالَقَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He's the creator of all things. He has created all things. And likewise, he is the one who brought everything in existence from the first time. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand that? So he created all things, brought everything into existence, and has given everything a shape in its form. And has given everything a shape in its form. These three traits or actions from Allah, they're clarified in three beautiful names of Allah, which are mentioned back to back together in one verse in the Quran. Who can remind us? He's the creator, the one who has originated all things and brought it into existence and given everything a shape and its form. Huh? You're close. That's not all three of them. Well, all three of them together. He's the creator, the one who brought everything into existence, and the one who's given everything its shape and its form. I'll give you a hint. It's in the Mufassal. Start in the front. It's in the Mufassal. What are the Mufassal? What are the Mufassal? What's that? In a shay bishay yuthkar, right? The Mufassal. This is a portion of the Quran that's called Al-Mufassal. And it's a portion that has been divided into small chapters. What does that mean? Which portion is considered the Mufassal from the Quran? Where does it start? Where does it end? It ends at Surah An-Nas. All right. Where does it begin? Al-Qaf. Surah Qaf. Surah Qaf. From Qaf to An-Nas, this portion of the Quran is called Mufassal. Why is it called Mufassal? Because the chapters are short and they break often and they start again and they're separated by the Basmala. So they're repeated. There's a number of them. And the breaks are often, especially compared to the previous portions of the Quran where the chapters are longer. In the portion that's called the Mufassal, the chapters are many and they're shorter. And they go and stop, go and stop, go and stop in this manner like this. And for this reason, the people of Nahr call them Mufassal. So the portion that we're looking is from this portion of the Quran. I narrowed it down for you. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the creator, the one who has brought everything into existence and given everything its shape and its form. It's the last verse in the chapter. Or maybe the second to last verse, if I remember correctly. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز سبحانه هو الله الخالق الباري المصور. You had it? Oh, you can't be shy, man. What's up? Huh? Why didn't you say it? Oh, you're trying to double check. Alhamdulillah. He had it. We're going to give it to him, right? Alhamdulillah. Oh, you said the surah. What surah is it? Al Hashar, mashallah. So you got it. Oh, you're cheating in the test. No. Ahsanta. Jazakallah khaira. Ahsanta. Barakallah fiqh. Al Khaliq, Al Bari, Al Musawwir. These verses here, they clarify many of the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you want to talk about who is Allah, from the first portions of the Quran, it's to go here. Huh? It's to go here. How does the verses start? Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu. Right? Huh? He's Allah. There's none worthy of worship but Him. Al-Khaliq, al-Bari, al-Musawwir. He's the creator, the one who has brought everything into existence, and the one who's given everything a shape and its form. How does the verse begin? Al-Khaliq, al-Bari, al-Musawwir. Al-Khaliq, al-Bari, al-Musawwir. Al-Khaliq, the creator. Al-Bari, the one who has brought everything into existence. Al-Musawwir, the one who has given everything the shape and its form. So because he's the creator, and because he is the one who's brought everything into existence, and because he alone is the one who's given everything a shape and its form, Allah clarified that there's nothing worthy of worship but him. There's nothing worthy of worship but him. So Allah, to believe in Allah means to believe that he's the creator, and he's the one who's brought everything into existence, and he's the one who's given everything a shape and its form. Also from the belief in Allah, yes. Al-Mufassal. 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 Also, if we want to talk about who is Allah, what does it mean to believe in Allah? There are other very important portions of the Quran. Also in the Mufassal. And it's in the beginning of the chapter this time. Allah, He's the first. There's nothing before Him. Allah, He's the last. There's nothing after Him. Allah, He is the Most High. There's nothing above Him. And Allah is the closest. There's nothing near to Him. Clarifying that Allah, His life is perfect. And that Allah, He has an absolute eternal life. His existence is eternal and absolute. He has no beginning and no ending. Which verses are these? In the Mufassal. Huwa al-awwal, al-akhir, al-zahir, al-batin, wa huwa bikulli shay'in 'alim. He is the first, he is the last, he is the most high, he is the most near, and he has knowledge of all things. So this is Allah. Allah, he's the first. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified these verses in the Sunnah. What did he say? أنت الأول الذي ليس قبلك شيء والآخر الذي ليس بعدك شيء الظاهر الذي ليس فوقك شيء الباطن الذي ليس دونك شيء. Who knows this? So this portion here from the Sunnah. Now, this is from the Adhkar that should be recited every night before you go to sleep. Every night before you go to sleep, this is a portion. This is in the end of one of the adhkar that's legislated for a believer to recite every night before he goes to sleep, reminding himself and reassuring and reaffirming his faith in Allah. Every night before you sleep. He's the first, there's nothing before him. There's nothing before him. And he's the last, there's nothing after him. Meaning his life has no beginning nor ending. His life has no beginning nor ending. He's the Most High, there's nothing above him. He is the Most High. There's nothing above Him. Not in His essence, not in His life, not in His power, not in His knowledge, not in His wisdom, not in anything. He's the Most High. Al-Qahir fawqa ibadi. He is the most powerful and strong, high and lofty over all of His slaves and all of His servants, over all of His creation in entirety from every manner. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the most near. Near by way of His knowledge. There's nothing nearer than Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from believing in Allah. Also, there's one verse in the Quran which is the most virtuous and best verse. And it's in the second chapter. And it's all about Allah. What verse is that? Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi. What does Allah say in Ayatul Kursi? Allah, la ilaha illa huwa. Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but Him. Why? Al-Hay, Al-Qayyum. These are also from the beautiful names of Allah. Allah, He's Al-Hay. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified likewise that Allah, He is Al-Hay, Alladhi la yamut. Al-Hay, Alladhi la yamut. Allah, He's the one who's alive and never dies. As for anything from the creation that has life, its life is preceded by non-existence. And its life is temporary and dependent upon the command of Allah. And it will die. So things in the creation, if they're alive, they're going to die. And their life was preceded by non-existence. Do you understand that? So the things in life, the things in existence from the creation, that have life, they were either alive and they have died, or they are alive and going to die, or they are not in existence and they'll be born into life and then they're going to die. As for Allah, He's alive and never dies. He's alive and never dies. This is why even whenever the best of creation and the most noble of mankind, he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers, they were affected in a major manner. And it's the greatest tragedy that has befallen this ummah. But whenever the people were shook, Abu Bakr, he stood firm, radiallahu anhu, and he came out and he said his khutbah after praising Allah. He said, Amma ba'd, fa amma man kana ya'budu Muhammadan, fa inna Muhammadan qad mat, wa man kana ya'budu Allah, fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. Indeed, whoever used to worship Muhammad, no, none of them used to worship Muhammad, but he's clarifying for them the creed of Tawheed, the creed of al-Iman billahi wahda, to believe in Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to him, he said to them, radiallahu anhum, that whoever used to worship Muhammad, indeed Muhammad is dead. And whoever used to worship Allah, then indeed Allah is alive and never dies. Meaning the deen continues. And that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon, and that which he taught, it continues and remains until the day of resurrection. Understand that? The worship of Allah alone. Because Allah alone is the one who's alive and never dies. He's alive and never dies. His knowledge is eternal and absolute. His wisdom is perfect and supreme. There's nothing greater than him. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. So this is what it means to believe in Allah. To believe in Allah, to believe that Allah, he is alive and never dies. His life is absolute and perfect. And he has the most beautiful names. All of the most beautiful names and the law of the attributes of perfection. No deficiency whatsoever in any of his attributes. No weakness whatsoever in any of his attributes or characteristics, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's nothing comparable to him or resembling him in any manner whatsoever. He's far high above his creation. Nothing is close to him or near to him or resembling him in his power and his honesty and his power and his authority and his might and his majesty and his command and his knowledge and his wisdom and all of his attributes. They're attributes of perfection with no weakness or deficiency whatsoever. This is Allah. So therefore, he alone is worthy of worship. So to believe in Allah, we must believe in the Tawheed of Allah. That Allah, he is one, alone, in his life that is perfect. He's alive and never dies. And that Allah alone, he has the absolute eternal existence, no beginning and no ending. That Allah alone, he needs nothing, yet everything needs him. He does not get tired or sleepy. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. He doesn't get sleepy or tired. He doesn't get sleepy or tired. He is existing by himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is by his power and authority, everything else is in existence likewise. He sustains himself by himself and likewise his creation by his power and authority and his supreme command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is our belief. We believe in the lordship of Allah, that Allah, he is the Lord. That Allah, he is the creator. That this creation belongs to Allah. That everything in creation is created by Allah alone with no partners. And that this creation that Allah created alone with no partners is under his authority and command. It belongs to him. So Allah, he allows what he wills in the creation. And what he allows occurs. And what he does not allow will not occur. He has the supreme authority and command. You understand that? He has the supreme authority and command. It rains whenever he decrees for it to rain, and the drops that fall where he has written, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he did not allow it, it will not occur. And whatever he allowed, no one can stop it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand? He has the supreme authority alone in the entirety of this entire creation. The sun goes up and comes down by his command. You are created in the womb of a woman by his command. He is the Almighty. He is the All-Wise. هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء. هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء. لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. He is the one who forms you, the مصور. He is the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. This is Allah. We believe in Allah. We believe that he is the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. There's none who has the right to be worshipped but him. He's the Almighty. He's the All-Wise. He's the Almighty. No one can overcome him. No one can escape his command. You cannot run or hide from him. You want to disobey Allah? Do it somewhere where he can't see you. Do it with something he did not provide for you. Whatever you do, don't use his blessings to do that. Is it possible? It's not possible. Because he's the Almighty. And he is the All-Wise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has little brothers or little sisters? Huh? Do you remember a time whenever you didn't have a little brother or little sister? It was real quiet in the house, right? Even sometimes you'd be ourselves, we don't have nobody to play with. I need a brother. Then all of a sudden, next thing you know, got a little brother screaming and crying. Like, man, you want to get away from this guy? He's breaking your toys and tearing your toys up and everything else like this, right? Remember those days? Back in those days? Do you remember whenever you first heard that you're going to have a little brother or little sister? You remember that part? After that, what happened maybe like a few months later to mommy's belly? You remember that? Started what? Where you at? Started getting bigger, right? It started getting bigger out of nowhere. Like, whoa, mom, homie, what's happening? Right? The belly is getting big. Sometimes mom is little, but then the belly is like big. Subhanallah. And then you're like, they're like, feel it. And there's like, boom, boom. You're like, something in there is kicking. Right? You ever seen that? Like, on mommy's belly, like, there's something in there kicking, punching, and like, whoa, wow, what's that? Right? And then you go to the doctor and you're like, it's going to be a boy. It's going to be a girl. Like, what? I wanted a boy. I want a brother. Right? I wanted a brother. Someone would say, it's going to be a girl. Oh, I wanted a brother. So, Allah al-Musta'an, like this. You remember those days? What happened? And then what happened after a few months? A baby came out. A baby came out. What is a baby doing in there? How did it get in there? The belly was flat. And then suddenly there's news that there's going to be a brother or sister. And then suddenly the belly's huge and big. And the next thing you know, there's this little baby crying and screaming. And the next thing you know, he's laughing and happy. You're like, whoa, look at this. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Huh? Allah, he clarified. He is the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. So it is Allah who forms the human being in the womb of women as he wills. He makes this one tall, this one short, this one happy, this one sad, this one a believer, this one a non-believer, this one dark, this one light, this one smart, this one bright, this one dumb, this one slow, right? This one handsome, this one ugly. All of its affairs is in the command of Allah, according to the will of Allah. It's his creation. He is the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. So if you ponder this, this is an amazing affair. Did you know you was in the belly of a woman before? You didn't know that? You thought you just showed up like this with a thobe on all of a sudden, right? You just came like that, dressed and ready to go? Huh? Huh? La, you said you're in the womb of a woman. Allah created you in the belly of a woman. You understand that? And you came out. And you came out to this world. You came out to this world. You understand? Before that, you were nothing. And then you were in the belly of a woman. And then you came out to this world. Allahu Akbar. You understand that? Allah, he says about this, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How can you disbelieve in Allah? What's wrong with you? كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. How can you disbelieve in Allah? You used to be dead. لَمْ تَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. You were not even mentioned. Nobody even thought about Abdullah or Zayd. That's not even a thought. And then the belly got big. You understand that? Then the belly, how can you disbelieve? You were not even existent. You were dead, not alive. And then the fetus is formed, and you're dead and not alive. And then Allah, he sends an angel with a soul and brings life. Huh? And then he's going to cause you to die again, and he's going to bring you back to life. You understand? How can you disbelieve in Allah? The one who created you in the womb of the women. In the womb of a woman in this manner. Those who are created in this manner, human being, what is he created from? The lowly fluid. That lowly fluid goes into that womb. And that womb, it turns into a blood clot, and then to flesh, and then to bones, and then ears, and eyes, and toes, and fingers are formed. And then a life is given to that form that's shaped in the womb in that manner. You understand that? And then it comes out. Like right now, if you ponder over modern medicine, what do they say about the intricate details of the eardrum? How small are those pieces in there that are working in harmony for you to be able to hear? How small are they? And you're an adult. Imagine how small they are whenever you're in the womb. Like right now, your fingers are moving. Before that, they're dinky, small, little bitty fingers. SubhanAllah, whenever my daughter came out, I remember I'm looking, all of her fingers are there. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. All the fingers are there. All toes are there. Everything is there. Form. He is the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand that? So how could you disbelieve in Allah? No one in their right mind can disbelieve in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to those people who claim that they don't believe in the Creator, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing, or are they themselves the Creator? Let's think about this. Were you created from nothing? You just popped up out of nowhere? Huh? Is that possible? Like this phone right here, you see this phone? What if I was like, you see this phone? You wouldn't believe it. It just popped up out of nowhere like that. Bam. Right there. All of a sudden, this plastic is coming here this way, and this little piece of coil is coming here this way, and some screen, and next thing you know, we've got the phone right there. You'd be like, what are you going to say about me? Crazy. That's right. You know they say, this man's crazy. That's not possible. It's not possible for the phone to be created from nothing. What if I told you, you know what? Actually, the phone, the case that popped out and started creating the drive and it started creating itself. What are you going to say? Wild. That's crazy and wild, right? He's crazy and wild. And that's not possible, right? So the phone was not created from nothing, and the phone didn't create itself. So if that's the case, what about you? Were you created from nothing, or did you create yourself? And if you created yourself, why didn't you make yourself a little more handsome, a little more tall, or a little more strong, right? A better nose, something like that, huh? You didn't create yourself, and you were not created from nothing. Did they create the heavens and the earth? If you didn't create yourself and you wasn't created from nothing, then surely you didn't create the heavens and the earth. So what's the only conclusion? That there's a creator. There's a creator. This creator, he is Allah. And he has clarified in revelation with great mercy who he is. Who would awwal alladhi laysa qablahu shay. Al-akhir alladhi laysa ba'dahu shay. Al-zahir alladhi laysa fawqahu shay. Al-batin alladhi laysa dunhu shay. Who would awwal? Who would awwal? Al-akhir, al-zahir, wal-batin. هو الخالق البارئ المصور وخالق كل شيء الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. That's who the creator is. You understand? So we believe in Allah. Meaning we believe in the creator. We believe in the creator that he is the one who has created all things. He's the one who has given everything a shape and its form. And he is the one who has brought everything into existence. And he is the one who has authority over all of his creation. And nothing happens except with his permission. And whatever occurs in this creation is based upon his supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom. La ilaha illa huwa al-aziz wal-hakim. La ilaha illa huwa al-aziz wal-hakim. You understand that? His life is perfect. He has no deficiency. He has no weakness. He has no shortcoming. There's nothing that's comparable or resembles him whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa lam yaqul lahu kufuwan. Nothing comparable to him whatsoever. He's greater than all things. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So this is our belief in Allah. We believe that he's the creator. We believe that he's the provider and sustainer. And we believe that he has the authority and command, and that he is the disposer of the affairs of the entire creation. So the one who believes this, along with the fact that Allah, he has the most beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever, this is the gateway to understand and realize that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So those people who worship the creation, they're worshiping something that is created and brought into existence and under the command of Allah. وَالَذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِدُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. Those who they call on to worship besides Allah, they don't create anything. Rather, they themselves are created. Meaning, you know, where's your brain at? Where's your brain at? Why are you worshiping a creation like you? Why don't you worship the creator of creation? That's the one that is true, right? That's the one that makes sense, the creator of creation. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ayyu dhanbi inda Allahi a'zam. What is the greatest sin with Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "And taj'ali lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka." He said that you make rivals in worship with Allah while He created you. And yet Allah created you and then you worship somebody else. What's wrong with you? Are you serious? You worship somebody else? You call on somebody else? You seek your needs from somebody else? You're afraid of somebody else? When nothing happens in this creation except with the permission of the Creator, no one can help you. No one can save you. No one can protect you unless Allah decrees and allows. No one can harm you. No one can get at you. No one can bother or disturb you except for Allah. He's the one who allows. So to put your trust or your reliance or to fear the creation in that manner is falsehood and the most ignorant of affairs, because nothing happens in the creation except with the permission of the Creator. So therefore, you put your trust and reliance on the Creator, not the creation. Therefore, you love the Creator and you love for His sake the creation. There, and you fear the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the creation, because the creation cannot harm you except with the permission of the Creator, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is our belief in Allah. We believe that Allah, He has the rububiyyah, the lordship, meaning that He is the Creator, He is the provider and the sustainer. He's the one who has brought everything into existence, given everything a shape and its form. This entire creation belongs to Him. He has authority and command. Nothing happens except with His permission. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever He decrees is based upon supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom. And He is the most merciful for those who take a path to His mercy. And He's the most severe in punishment for those who disregard His commandments and violate His prohibitions. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand that? And He has a life that is perfect. He never dies. He has no deficiency or weakness whatsoever. And there is nothing resembling or comparing to Him in any manner at all. And He has the most beautiful names and the most lofty attributes of perfection. Therefore, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. And worshiping anything besides Him is falsehood and evil in a foul and lowly way. Falsehood and evil in a foul and lowly way. This is our belief in Allah. This is what it means to believe in Allah. Do you understand that? To believe in Allah, His oneness and His rububiyyah, and His asma'i wa sifat, and His uluhiyyah, and His right to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the summarization of that. That's the summarization of that. Who can repeat it?
Okay.
In summary, yeah. What does it mean to believe in Allah?
Believe that He's the Creator.
To believe that He's the Creator. What's that? Where are we at? Yes, to believe He's the Creator. We're gonna everything that we just said now, we're gonna summarize just a few words so everybody can remember. We believe that He's the Creator and the sustainer and the owner of all things and the disposer of the affairs. We believe that He's the Creator and the provider and the sustainer, and that He is the owner of all things. All things belong to Him, and He's the disposer of the affairs of the entire creation. You understand that? He's the Creator, the provider and sustainer. And that all things belong to Him. Why does it all belong to Him? Because He created it. You see that? Because He created it, so it belongs to Him. So, did He create you? Yes, so you belong to Him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So you belong to Him. So you should be careful and not disobey Him. Right? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who is disposing of the affairs. What does that mean? He sends the rain from the sky. He causes the crops to grow from the ground. He makes your feet get big, right? Your feet used to be His size. You know that? Oh, you forgot that too. Your feet used to be that size. You don't remember that? Watch out. Pretty soon you're going to have to get new shoes, right? They're going to grow, inshallah. They're going to get bigger. That's what happens. Yeah, pretty soon your feet are going to be His size. Like, whoa, what happened to my shoes? They don't fit no more. What happened to my shoes? They don't even fit no more. Who is the one causing your feet to grow? Allah. Because He is the Creator. He is the provider. He is the sustainer. He is the one who has authority and command. He is the one who is disposing of the affairs. Also, we believe as well that Allah, He has all of the most beautiful names and the lofty attributes of perfection. All of the beautiful names are for Allah. And all of His attributes are attributes of perfection. No deficiency whatsoever. And we believe that none has the right to be worshipped but Him. That's it. is summarized. Allah, He is the creator, the provider, the sustainer, the owner of authority and command, the one who disposes of the affairs. He has the most beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, and there's nothing worthy of worship but Him. There's nothing worthy of worship but Him, yes. That's right, you got it. We can even summarize it further. Bring it. To believe in the Tawheed of Allah and His Rububiyyah, Asma'i wa Sifat, and Uluhiyyah. You can summarize it right there. But some people, they're not, they haven't learned like you have. Allahumma barik. That's very good. You should be very thankful. You're blessed. A lot of Muslims, they don't know this. But somebody who loves Allah, they took time to teach you. Your parents or your teachers in the masjid, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward them. May Allah reward them with good. So those teachers, we have to respect them and honor them, support them and help them. Support them and help them. This is a good way. This is a good way. Alhamdulillah, teaching the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal until you can see it clear as day. He knew what I'm talking about the whole time. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma lak alhamd. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. So this is what it means to believe in Allah. This is what it means to believe in Allah. This is what it means to believe in Allah. We don't talk about some of the different topics. We kind of bounce around now a little bit. Right? We kind of bounce around a little bit. So the leaders of those who believe in Allah, who are they? We mentioned them in class before. The leaders of those who believe in Allah, they're the people of the straight path. Who are they? Let's get them in order. You're right, but we want to get it in order. Yes. Surah An-Nisa. The prophets? The truthful? The martyrs? And the righteous, right? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَصِدِّيقِينَ وَشُهَدَاءِ وَصَالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. We know, right? Those are the people of the straight path. The prophets, and النَّبِيِّينَ وَصِدِّيقِينَ, the truthful, the lovers of the truth, those who are sincere and truthful in their faith, right? وَشُهَدَاءِ, the martyrs, those who died in the path of Allah, in the cause of Allah, truthfully and sincerely. وَصَالِحِينَ, the righteous and the pious, sincere and true believers. So the head of the prophets are? The head of the prophets is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The head of the Siddiqeen is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The head of the Shuhada, Umar and Uthman and Ali. And the leaders of the Salihin, the rest of the Sahaba and those upon their way after them. We want to go to the Shuhada. What does the Shuhada mean? The martyrs, those who died in the cause of Allah. They lost their life for the sake of Allah. That's the plural, shuhada. What's the singular? Shaheed. Here's the question. Man awwalu shaheed fil Islam? Who's the first shaheed in al-Islam? That big man? Huh?
No.
Was it even a man? It was a woman. The first one to give their life in the cause of Allah. Following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wasn't a man. No, it wasn't a man. Who was it? It was a woman. It was a woman. She held on fast to her deen and did not let go for her life. Radiyallahu anha, Sumayya. You understand that? She was married to?
Yes.
Yasir. Huh? And they had a son, his name was Ammar ibn Yasir. Do you know, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ammar ibn Yasir, he came and entered upon Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he said to him, marhaban, marhaban. And he told him, inna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala inna Ammaran muriya imana ila mushashihi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about Ammar that he's full of iman until the ends of his body. Can you imagine that? He's just a little bit of iman. No, he's full of iman. Iman has filled his life. Ammar. He's full of iman. Who is his mom? Sumayya, the first woman to die for her deen. The first Muslim to die for their deen. You understand that? In Islam. You know what happened to her? Her and her husband, they're tortured to death. Her and her husband, Ammar, Yasin, likewise, he's tortured to death. And Sumayya, she is tortured to death. And they're telling them to recant from their deen and to give up their religion. And they refused. And they were punished and they were tortured and they're persecuted until they died. And they're persecuted and tortured time after time. But this was in, when was this? This is in the beginning of Islam. This is whenever the Prophet was in Mecca. And this is whenever the Muslims were weak. And if they were to strike out, they would be annihilated. And they were not allowed to fight back. And they're ordered to be patient and seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do you know that while they were being persecuted, while they were being tortured, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would walk by and he would witness and he would not help them. And he would not help them physically. What would he say? Sabran ala Yasir, maw'idukum al-jannah. Be patient, O family of Yasir, your promise is paradise. He cannot help them. He cannot stop them. He cannot give them a hand. He cannot fight. Why? He's not allowed. He was not allowed. Allah did not allow him to fight, to raise up arms. The believers in Mecca were not allowed to fight. They were not allowed to make jihad. They were not allowed to raise a weapon. They were not allowed to fight back. Allah did not allow them. Who was Allah? We just talked about this. He's the most wise. Nothing happens except with his permission. And nothing happens except based on his supreme knowledge and wisdom. So this is with regards to the universal command. And likewise in the legislative command, it's all wisdom. They were not allowed legislatively to fight back. Because this is wisdom. Because if they were to fight back at that time, they would be finished and there would be no Islam. You understand that? So would somebody say, why did the Prophet abandon Yasir? Why did he not help Sumayya? Who would say that? Except for a heretic, waliyadu billah. Except for a deviant, waliyadu billah. Except for a disbeliever, waliyadu billah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is following the command of Allah. He was not allowed to help them physically, so he helped them spiritually and he promised them, sabran, be patient. Ala Yasir, maw'idukum al-jannah. Your promise is paradise. Be patient. Do not give up faith. Do not fall short. Do not fall weak. Do not let go. Hold on fast until your soul leaves your body and your promise is paradise. You understand that? You understand that? So because the believers at this time were weak, and if they were to fight back in that situation, great, great harms and repercussions would occur and foul consequences would happen that are much more severe than the ones that they're facing. They will go, like we say in English, from the fire to from the frying pan into the fire. They go from the frying pan into the fire. Which is worse, for somebody to be in the frying pan or to be in the fire itself? Being in the frying pan is not good, right? But getting in the fire is much worse, right? So if you're going to be in two situations, one of them is bad and the other one is severely worse, you just have to be patient. Sabran, mu'idukum al-jannah, because what's worse than that is more severe. And only a fool will jump out of the frying pan to get off in the fire. Right? Only a fool would do that. So that's what we see today, fools doing. Left and right, jumping from the frying pan into the fire. And protests and revolutions, claiming that the people don't help Palestine and the likes like this. That's because we don't have power. If we go over there and do something with them, like them fools did, they throw some rocks and likes like this. They killed one or two Jews, and next thing you know, they bombed the whole place. And all of the children are finished. And all of the women are finished. And all the old men are finished. And then they say, why don't you help them? Why don't you help them? Because these fools, they did that. This is what happens. This is what happens when you disobey the command of Allah. And his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you understand? This is why the scholars, they said, don't do that. Don't do that. Just be patient. Be patient. This is not the time to fight back. Because if you fight back with a weapon, they're going to clown you. Just like they, waliyadu billah, they're going to humiliate you. Look at the land now, it's finished. Even if you go back 10 years to Syria, they said, don't go against the ruler. What happened? They said, no, we're going to overthrow the ruler. Listen, it's an Arabic spring, right? Arabic spring. And spring, what happens? Things come to life. Look there now, is there life? They used to call the people to the street. If you look there now, there's no street. There's no street, right? Women are killed or raped or widowed. Children are left here and left there. The men are finished. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. This is because of ignorance. They don't understand the situation. What got us in this place in the first place? Huh? What got us in this place in the first place? Because we're so pious and righteous? Because we worship Allah alone? Or because we worship graves, make tawaf around graves? Ah, this is what causes humiliation to fall the ummah. Worshipping others besides Allah, and calling on the graves besides Allah, and taking oaths and swearing by the dead besides Allah, and seeking protection from the dead besides Allah. This is what humiliation has befallen us. If you look at many of the Muslim lands, you'll find not one masjid except there's a grave there. You'll not find not one person crying to Allah, they're crying to the grave. Would you have been begging the grave, slaughtering for the grave, afraid of the grave? Some of them, even they will swear by Allah, and they're lying. If you tell them, swear by the wali, no way. He'll swear by Allah. Wallahi, I paid you. He said, swear by the wali. No way. I'm not swearing by. The wali knows. The wali knows. No, the wali will get me. That's what they believe. They fear the wali, the so-called wali, more than they fear Allah. You understand that? This is why humiliation befall the ummah. Because of shirk. Because of bid'ah. Because of celebrations that are innovative. Following way other than the way of the believers. And get landed into that which they have chosen. So, the means to remove the humiliation is not revolution and not revolting. In these revolutions, in these revolts, who wins? Who wins? The disbelievers. Do the Muslims win? The Muslims are fighting. They wind up fighting each other. They turn into factions and they start killing this other. And it spreads like wildfire. It goes from Syria. It goes to Egypt. It goes to Algeria. It goes to Tunis. It goes here. It goes to Sudan. Wallahi, the Iraq is finished. The major lands of Islam. Baghdad was a central for Islam. Damascus was a central for Islam. They destroyed it. They lowered it. They flattened it. Right? Somehow the Shia, those who cursed Abu Bakr, got charged. Subhanallah. They weren't good for Islam? Now they don't want good for Islam. They want to destroy Islam. And this is the way they do it. By playing games and make the Muslims fight each other because they're ignorant and they don't know what they're doing and they have no clear understanding even about the biography and the life of their own Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sabran ala yasir, mu'idukum al-jannah. They said, Saudi Arabia, why don't they help? Because if they help, if they physically help, what's going to happen? They want to do what they did to Damascus, what they did to Damascus, what they did to Baghdad. They want to do what they did to Syria. They want to do what they did to Gaza. They want to do that to the Kaaba. They want to do that to Medina. You understand that? That's their goal. That's their goal. That's their goal. The last country standing that stands for Quran and Sunnah is the Saudi government. That's why all arrows are pointed at them. We're not claiming that they're perfect or that they don't have no weaknesses or deficiencies, that there are no sins there, but there's no shirk there. There's no grave there that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal. There's no innovations that are established outwardly like in many other countries. Even if there's some sins there, even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are sins. There are sins. There are hypocrites in the gatherings. There's a man he got brought four times and lashed at the command of the Prophet for drinking alcohol. There are individuals they were stoned to death for fornication in Medina. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sins are going to be present. Nobody, we're not angels. Societies are not angels. This is not lightening the sins, nah. But the affair of Tawheed is established in those lands. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is established in those lands. Who would want to do away with that? Go to any other land and you'll find what? You'll find graves. You'll find graves in the masjid. Some of those Muslim lands, you will not find a masjid except there's a grave there. It will be hard for you to go to a masjid without a grave in it. You have to really make effort. And anybody who has ever went to these lands, they will see. And you will find them doing the most despicable things with those graves besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by learning just the very basics, and you don't even go far in the seerah, and even go past the first few years, and you find out this affair, that whenever the Muslims are weak, it's not allowed for them to fight back and to strike back, because it's going to lead to them being humiliated. You understand that? It's going to lead to humiliation more severe and worse. You have to be patient, and you have to call on Allah. You have to work in the obedience of Allah, and wait for the help of Allah to come. And if you're truthful and you're helpful, and if you're truthful and you're sincere, and you're obedient, the help of Allah will come. The help of Allah will come. It's the promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were tried with trials until Allah, he mentioned about them, وَزُلْزِلُوا. They were shaken. وَقَوْمَتَا نَسْرُ اللَّهِ. When is the help of Allah? إِنَّا نَسْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, the help of Allah is near. And they were tried with trials that were shaking them. hardships and difficulties, but they were patient and they were sincere and they followed the command of Allah and they did not violate that until the aid of Allah come. You understand? So this is of utmost importance to understand, to not be deceived by the media, to not be deceived by the ignorant, to not be deceived by the layman, to not be deceived by the fools, to not be deceived by what we see on TV and on YouTube and the likes like this, especially in the day of AI. What's that called? Artificial intelligence. So many things that you see on YouTube is not real. It's not real. They're lies and they're fabricated and they're made up. Or they're changed, they're distorted, and the realities are not true. And they show some things and they hide a lot. They show some things and they hide a lot, and they have an agenda. And the agenda is al-Islam and its people. And the way to do away with that is to do away with the Tawheed of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the way to do with that is to do away with the Sahaba. Radiallahu anhum. These are the aims and goals, targets for the disbelievers, for the enemies of al-Islam. And the problem is that many Muslims are tried by their ideologies and Western thought, and they're being used by the disbelievers to work the evil and to destroy Islam. Syria was destroyed by the hands of the Muslims. You understand that? They're the ones who went to the street. They're the ones who is there the result of their efforts that the lives were toppled. In Sudan, same thing. They're the ones who went to the street. The scholars don't do that. Next thing you know, like, man, I wish we didn't do that. Right? Cars are gone, lives are lost, homes are demolished, blood is in the street. People don't know where their dad is. They ain't seen their dad in weeks. They don't even know if he's alive or not, or their brother or their sister. And finally, maybe they get a call. Oh, yeah, we found his body. Or maybe they never get a call ever again. Right? Maybe they used to have bad situation, but at least they had a car and a home and a dad. Now they don't have a car, a home, nor a dad. Yeah. What's better, to be struggling but you got a car, home, and dad, huh? Or to be weeping and fighting a ruler but you have no car, no home, and no dad? Which one's better? It's very clear. You understand that? So this is what happens with these revolutions and these ways of the Khawarij and these deviant ideologies being riled up against the rulers and the likes like this, blaming other people for our own mistakes and our own faults. It's not the ruler's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. We have to take ourselves to account, raise ourselves upon the obedience of Allah, cultivate our family upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we're so head over heels in the dunya, disobeying Allah and His Messenger, not caring about our religion, selling our deen for a dollar, taking money however it comes, halal or haram, it don't matter, just give it to me. Like this, because of this, this is why there's humiliation, and it will not be lifted until we obey Allah, until we repent to Allah. So we leave off innovations. We stop having birthdays that are haram. We stop doing this and doing that. Stop having false claims to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam while we disobey him left and right. That's not how help comes. That's not how the aid of Allah comes. It comes by being sincere. It comes by being truthful. It comes by learning your religion. It comes by having time to sit and seek knowledge. It comes by memorizing hadith. It comes by applying the Quran in your life. It comes by fearing Allah and checking your eyes. It comes by repenting to Allah often throughout the day and the night. In this manner, the help of Allah comes. You understand that? In this manner, the help of Allah comes. We can't be mad at the rule of this rule and that rule, this rule and that rule. Actually, it's your house. What about how you rule your house? How do you rule your wife? Let's talk about that. How do you rule your child? Or do they rule you? Or do they rule you? Or do they cause you to disobey your Lord? That's what it means, huh? Do you disobey Allah for your wife? Do you disobey Allah for your child? Oh, that's why we have a problem. It's not the ruler's fault. It's the way you rule your home. It's the way you rule your life. Do you disobey Allah for a dollar? Have you accustomed yourself to just not be concerned about the commands and the prohibitions? Just violate that, whatever, and just live the American way? The American dream, like they say? Green front yard and everything like that, big car, alhamdulillah. Not even if you have to disobey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not the right way. This is a reminder for the youth and for the elders. For the youth and for the elders, barakallahu fikum, we have to return to Allah with sincerity and learn the shahada and la ilaha illallah, what it means, what it requires, what it necessitates. And learn the shahada and the Muhammad Rasulullah, what it means, what it requires, what it necessitates. Strive against our soul to cultivate ourselves upon that way till we become accustomed to obeying Allah, to become accustomed. It's easy for us to follow the Sunnah. It's easy for us to say, no, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't take that money. I'm not signing that contract. There's real on interest, and I don't take interest. But it's a lot of money. But I don't take interest. It doesn't matter how much it is. I don't do that. I don't need it that bad. You can keep your car. I'll find another one. And if that, like that, until you're able to check yourself with the reins of the legislation, with Iman and Allah in the last day, because we're going to meet him. And you can't hide and you can't run. Wahu al-Azizu al-Hakim. You can't escape him. You're going to go back to him. So we have to get ready to go back to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is by way of knowledge and light and sincere faith and effort and striving. Striving in our homes. Striving in ourselves. Striving in our homes. Striving in our communities. We learn about Islam. We have to apply it. We can't abandon it. We learn about Islam. We learn about the Sunnah. We have to apply it. We can't turn our heads on it. We can't just turn a blind eye. Oh yeah, that's right. It's haram, but we do it anyways. Not in ourselves, not in our family, not even if our customs and our cultures, they do that, we don't do that no more. Even if they don't like us no more, or our family gets mad at us. That part right there is not pleasing to Allah. I'm not doing it, even if you don't like it. Even if you don't like it, I'm not doing it because Allah doesn't like it. So I fear Allah, not you. All they, these are very important because many of our customs and cultures have been corrupted. Have been corrupted with the ideologies and the ways of the Westerners and with deviant methodologies that have no foundation, have no evidence in the Quran or in the Sunnah. And it's becoming clear for many of us, and we're tried now as a test. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِحِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. So this is very, very important. Barakallahu fikum. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. A long review? Allahu musta'an. We have, what time is the Iqamah? What time is the Adhan? Adhan is past? The Iqamah is in 7 more minutes? There's question time, but I'll be honest with you, I'm tired. We can, we save the questions maybe for tomorrow, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. I apologize for not dealing with the questions tonight. جزاكم الله خير.